Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, my name is Vexax, joined with our co-host today, Vince from the band Ascension Drive.
What up?
Now, the people listening, this is episode 20. This is it. This is 20 fucking hours of the Vex on Vex podcast. What are your thoughts on that, Mr. Vince?
It's insane.
It is insane, right? It's going quickly.
How have you been able to do that for so long?
But then, no, I have another podcast, and that's in like the 20s. So this is like, I think, roughly 46 hours of recorded just talking shit, which is interesting.
Sometimes you gotta do that, though. I dig that.
I don't know, man. I like it. I like the podcast thing. We're in the Loud and Loaded Network. The Loud and Loaded Network, followed by the Podbean application on your phone. Mm-hmm. There's a Facebook page. Go check it out. But we are here to just discuss beautiful nothings in the wind.
Exactly.
Now, off microphone, it's really weird. You don't have a podcast yet, but I think you're going to because you're enjoying your time with us. So exactly. Perhaps you will have the Vince thing. You have your channel on YouTube.
I have a YouTube channel that I started a few months ago because I started watching like Music is Win, but Tyler Larson. I don't know if you've ever seen any of his videos.
I did not.
He's a guitar player who's PRS sponsored.
Of course.
Which is, of course, a big plus for me. But he would make these very funny videos, like guitar memes, like where your pick goes. You drop your pick, you don't know where it is, or
sure.
Where picks end up, or trying to impress a girl by playing a million notes per second when she just wants to hear Wonderwall. And these very funny videos. Okay. But then he also had lesson videos. I realized this guy can play.
Okay.
He's so good. And then from there, I learned about Jared Dines, who I think is hilarious, too. He's another guitar player who does funny videos like that.
So that what you're going for, like a comedy edge?
At first I was, but then I was just so obsessed with just watching guitar instructional things on YouTube and like different guitar-related everything, so to say. And I was like, you know what? I want to do some of this. I mean, and so I opened up a channel. I did everything on my phone of all
literally,
things.
I have iMovie
on my phone.
And I don't even know what iMovie is. What is
iMovie? It's the Apple product that you can make your own movie and stuff, or own videos using like their own editing software.
Is that an app you have to pay for?
It comes with every iPhone or every MacBook you would get.
Okay.
And so,
because I have an iPhone. So yeah, I have iMovie?
Yeah, you have iMovie.
Interesting.
But it was so funny. I made my first the first video I made was a promo video for the channel, which I was able to grab clips of from me performing.
So how long have you been doing the channel at this point?
Only a few months, and it's kind of slow moving right now.
How many followers or anything?
Not many. I'm being honest.
Well, people listen to this. So if you're a guitar enthusiast, if you want to learn a few things, what is the web address, or how do we work this out?
Straight up, just go to youtube.com.
Straight up.
Look up Vincent Gracie.
How do you spell your last name? That's like a little
G-R-A-C-I.
Okay, people don't know that.
Yeah.
They just say you're Vince, man.
Vince.
Okay. But, is there a name for the channel, or is it just Vincent Gracie?
It's just Vincent Gracie right now.
Okay.
And it's just, I want to do a variety of different things on it.
Such as?
Instructional stuff. Like
obviously.
My first major video after the promo was I took part of our song, Mark of the Traitor.
Yeah, I watched that one.
Yeah, I took a part, and it was so funny because I found out there was an error in it. Like I stuttered, I think, at one point. But
that's embarrassing.
That's cool, though, because I'm learning. It's just I'm learning this stuff. You know, you can feel when something's rehearsed.
Sure.
And I've always been a fan of, I can dig a rehearsal. I was like, I kind of want things to feel natural.
Understood.
So how natural is it when no script's involved,
sure,
right? There were a million takes of me screwing this up. And when I originally uploaded it, there was an error. And so I took it down, went back to editing.
Did you really?
Re-uploaded it.
Look at you.
Everything. I was just like.
But you just said you wanted to be spontaneous. All right, so here's my question. How old were you when you started playing guitar at all?
I was 13, 14.
How did it find you?
Funny you say that. So I had an Ibanez acoustic, which I still own to this day.
But why would it just be in your house?
It was just, my dad got me it for Christmas.
Okay.
It was something. I was 10, 11. I wasn't feeling it because I didn't want to sit there and do chromatic exercises.
I hated the chords when I was 10 and 11.
And I went crazy. I think it's most musicians. I mentioned last podcast. Kind of embarrassing, but you also told me don't be embarrassed. I saw Nickelback live when I was 13.
No, but it's a powerful band.
Powerful band live.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I was like, I want to do
that.
I
want to do that, yeah.
I want to do that. I didn't know how.
I hear that. Because how at that age?
I was a piano. I played piano. So yeah. I played keyboard. I was like, I want to play rock.
Fucking A.
And so I started picking up that acoustic guitar, and I
try to teach myself how to play it. I broke the E string. I remember freaking out. The high E.
Oh, the high. Everybody breaks the high E.
I was young and I didn't know what anything.
Could you tune? Were you tuning from the door?
I was trying, yeah.
My dad who raised me tried to give me a tuning key, and he wanted me to train my ear. I was like 8 or something when he gave me a guitar. And like, I didn't get it. I couldn't tune. It was hard.
It was hard.
I was little.
At first, and it was just like, it was that acoustic guitar. I was teaching myself. Just like, I would go on ultimateguitar.com.
Okay.
Learn tablatures, try to play a song.
Tab is where it's at, though.
It was, yeah. It was so easy for me to figure out, but sometimes they're wrong.
But the beautiful part of tab, in my opinion, is when you're learning, is the repetition of your hands. Mm-hmm. Like the memory between hand and eye coordination, literally. Like, it's not sight reading per se, but it is. Mm-hmm. It's a form of it, and you're just going to the dots on the neck. Like, so I like that. I kind of like tab. I think it's a positive thing.
And then my freshman year of high school, there was a guitar class being taught, which so it's so funny to this day. My parents make fun of me still. I got a C and B in that class because the teacher noted he's got great enthusiasm for the guitar.
Okay.
He doesn't learn the material.
Oh.
Because I want to learn my own thing, and I got my first electric guitar when I was a freshman.
I took saxophone lessons.
Really?
When I was like 9 or 10, and I had to learn Hot Cross Buns.
Oh wow.
Hot Cross Buns. And I literally took the 4 notes that are in the song and wrote my own song, and my dad got pissed at me. And he's like, this is the way you have to fuck you. I'm like, look, I can play Hot Cross Buns, but listen to what I wrote. And he didn't get it. And even then, I'm trying to compose. As a little kid, like, I could hear it.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And even to this day, like, even still, like, I'll try to take apart songs I know and like, how does that work?
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Do you know who George Michael was?
Yes.
When he was a kid, before he was George Michael, he said he was already rewriting lyrics that he would hear of pop songs and making them smarter. Were you rewriting guitar parts or something?
Trying to. And I was trying to be a lyricist too.
Okay.
At the time, so I was trying to do that too.
Did you ever read into Jim Morrison stuff?
I have. I went to the Hall of Fame actually when they had a Doors exhibit.
When did you go? I was at the Hall of Fame.
This was 2000. It was the summer in Dark Knight. The Dark Knight came out.
That's a long time ago.
And so they had a special exhibit dedicated to the Doors in the upstairs balcony.
Okay. Oh, when I went, it was
so I got to read his high school poems, and I was just thinking
the depth that he had at fucking 17.
But at the same time, you're also thinking this guy is so weird. Well, he was a weird dude.
Yeah.
Period. But he was weird. I'm the Lizard King. I can do anything. You know what I'm saying?
Pretty good. So it's weird because in the psychedelic movement, they were fronted by a guy dressed in black talking about death, and that no one did that. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it was a unique take on things.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Doors came out late 60s.
67.
So predated Sabbath and...
Oh, tremendously. But the Doors were more jazz influenced than anything. I don't know. Were you ever a Doors fan?
I was going to mention this. After my freshman year, I went to the Wilmington School of Rock. So a lot of what I learned on the guitar, I learned from playing classic rock songs.
So Robbie Krieger and shit like that.
I did. We did a Doors show. Actually, there's very old videos on YouTube of me playing that.
What songs, if you don't mind me asking?
I played...
Like, Love Me Two Times is a good guitar. Like,
I played Break On Through.
Love that song. We played that live way back in the day.
Nice.
When we were kids, like 95 or something.
My favorite Doors song was Roadhouse Blues.
Woke up this morning and got myself a beer.
I love that song. And then I liked Spanish Caravan.
Oh, but see, you're a guitar player. Of course you love Spanish Caravan.
I can't play that song, though.
Really?
Flamenco.
The flamenco style?
It's so difficult because I feel like my teacher was a... guitars in this area, Chris Gordon.
Okay.
Who's probably one of the best guitar players I've ever heard in my life.
Awesome.
I don't play like him because he's more neoclassical shreddy, which has never been my necessary thing. I was a blues rock guy. I mean, Slash was my dude.
Was it? I didn't know that.
Tremonti was the reason I started guitar.
Yes.
And then one of the best shows I ever saw was Alice in Chains and Velvet Revolver. And
what year? Because I saw VR when they came out in 2004.
This was 2006, 2007.
That was when they're ending.
Alice in Chains reunion. They were touring with VR. The Revolver. And I saw Jerry Cantrell and Slash in one day.
All right. Let's talk about this. I've never seen Chains live in either incarnation. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Cantrell. Thoughts?
I'm going to say this straight up. People can fight me. I don't care. Jerry Cantrell is one of my favorite guitar players.
No, he's a monster player.
He's like my top five. He's written some of the greatest riffs of that era. Dem Bones, Man in the Box. But what's also great about Cantrell and I've heard Satriani say this. They did a Hendrix thing together.
Okay.
Satriani even praises Cantrell.
Okay.
Saying that.
Because?
He's a great blues player.
The feel.
He's got the feel. He's got the Hendrix feel. If you listen to Alice in Chains' first record, Facelift, he's got some Hendrix-like moments.
It's weird you bring up Facelift. Sea of Sorrows on that.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Which is not a rock tune, per se. Bum, 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 bum. But, yeah, man. That one, as a kid, I loved that fucking tune. That was like my favorite song on the record. And it wasn't a hit or anything. It wasn't a single.
My favorite off that record is We Die Young.
Great
just hearing
tune.
That intro. You're just like, what dark hole that I just
vocally
crawl
it's just
into.
Obscene.
And then is Lane going, ooh. I was like, oh, it's hooked right then and there.
Yeah, man.
Cantrell is amazing.
I was in high school
amazing.
When Dirt came out.
Nice.
And it was like, but then like Rooster was on it, which was like deep and heavy and introspective. It was about his dad and like it was dark stuff, man. But I remember thinking they're not going to live too long. Like it was just such a darkness on that album that you're like, this isn't going to work for them, man.
They were.
That's where they stole Ozzy's bass player. It's Mike Inez.
Yeah, I love Mike Inez.
Yeah, so do I.
He played actually. Jarflies was his first album he played on.
I didn't know that.
Mike Starr was still the first bass player for that point.
I didn't know that.
Mike Inez, his first debut of Chains was Jarflies. So
interesting.
Which has one of the greatest songs of all, in my opinion, of all time, Nutshell.
Okay, yeah.
Which
what's the one that's in Clerks? It's from Sap.
Got Me Wrong.
Yeah,
that's good too.
I fucking love that.
What's good on that? I think it's that album, or it's Flies. It has a song called not Brother. I think it's called Right Turn. It has Chris Cornell do it?
Oh yeah, yeah,
Saley
yeah.
On
yeah,
that,
of course,
which
of course.
Is
the two best. The two best
the two,
vocalists,
in my opinion. Yeah,
in
the two
that
best
whole
in that
scene.
Era.
Yeah,
when that scene is so to hear Cornell and Lane Staley sing together,
pretty amazing stuff.
So when I saw Chains live, and I was getting into the grunge movement at that time, I had this friend in high school who was obsessed with 90s rock.
But you did it late. You're in high school, and the grunge movement's long dead.
It
right?
was. I mean, I was or hard rock or hard rock yeah. for me. 2000 was like your post-grunge era.
So wait,
so that
your
was
class
like,
of like 2008 or something?
I was class of 2009.
Jesus Christ, you're so young.
Yeah, so I was.
But so when you're in high school, it's like, man. What was happening? Oh, Velvet Revolver was still
Revolver,
happening.
Velvet Revolver, Avenged Sevenfold had just broken.
They blew up. I remember that.
Alter Bridge, his first album came out, and I was they're my favorite band.
It's not. No, I thought it was before that.
That was 2004, 2005. I was.
Well, four. Yeah, we just had in 2009, though, so you
yeah.
threw me off.
So Creed broke up.
Oh, yeah. Thank then, God. Fuck Creed.
Well.
No, I can say fuck Creed.
I'm going to say this about Creed.
Go ahead.
My Own Prison, that first record, I think is a really good record.
Well,
but
go ahead.
I think it's solid. I think it's introspective and dark.
Here's my beef. Don't wave the God flag while you're banging hookers and doing cocaine.
Yeah. No,
so like,
that's,
no, like
that's
if you're Kid Rock and you're banging hookers and doing cocaine, which is what he was doing.
Yeah.
All right. I'm good with that. I love Jesus.
Yeah.
Where's the cocaine? Like, no.
No.
Like, he fired the bass player for no fucking reason.
Brian Marshall, which I.
Just crazy.
Nice guy in the world when I
and
met
him.
And
he's in fucking Alter Bridge. Like, obviously, he can play and work well.
So funny. When I met Alter Bridge, yeah. I gave them each an Ascension Drive guitar pick.
Yeah.
And as I was walking away from the booth, Brian Marshall's last guy I gave yeah. my pick to. And I just hear, Ascension Drive! Out loud, I turned, and it was him that said it. And I was just like... I was just like, this is not just happening right now. He's... But, I think with Creed, especially Weather was the album they broke up on, you could just tell Tremonti was bored. Like, when they reunited, I remember my biggest concern was what's going to happen to Alter Bridge. Because I was...
Oh, no, I knew it was temporary. There was, and the Alter Bridge was... I don't know if you're not a fan. You had to know this. In Europe, they're huge.
Yeah, they were.
Like, they still are.
They are.
They're
yeah.
a huge band. Mm-hmm. They're like 20,000-seat venue band. So you don't leave that. You can
not
do your
all.
Creed reunion, which is cool. People dug it. I know people went who were Creed fans who appreciated it.
The album they reunited on, Full Circle, you yeah. could just tell that album needed Miles Kennedy to sing on it because it sounded like Tremonti had so much creative control over that. Mm-hmm. So it's heavy for Creed.
Did you like Tremonti's solo record?
I do. I love every solo record he's done.
Oh, I know there was
he's
more
done,
than one.
He's done three's release. A fourth one's coming out right now.
I had no idea. I remember the one that Eddie Van Halen's kid played the bass on.
Yeah. He played it on two of them.
See, that's the thing. The second one I didn't even know
about. Dust and Cauterize. Okay. Cauterize is good. Dust had probably one of the...
But can Tremonti sing? I mean, he's not Miles fucking Kennedy.
He's not Miles Kennedy. He's got a unique voice. It's a very James Hetfield kind of thing going on for him. Which it's great for his sound because he's such a thrash metal.
It's where he's speed from. Metal. Yeah, yeah.
Which is so funny when people actually really dig into him. And some people shrugged him off like, oh, he's Creed. But then you hear your solo record and you're like, wait, what?
I remember America not taking Alter Bridge seriously. And I remember one of the first people, my guitar player, King Sam, was like, no. This fucking band is a monster. You better fucking listen. And I did, and I was like, oh. And then when Slash picked up Miles, that really, for here in America. But again, they were always huge in Europe. There was never a maybe. And do you remember the movie Rockstar?
Yes. Miles is in it. Yes, he's in it.
Yeah. And I remember seeing him in it, and I was like, that guy can really sing. He might do something. Insane. He is insane.
Miles, have you heard his solo album, You're the Tiger?
I haven't. I heard things on Facebook.
I think I showed you one.
Is that what it was?
It's all acoustic blues,
okay.
Which is a lot of his background was that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Kennedy is actually an insane player.
But he was in that band for like 10 years and never broke, right?
Mayfield Floor?
Yeah, is that it?
Which is, those albums are, if you get the chance.
Now, see, I never heard that. I heard they're really good, though.
They are. It's very different. It's very, is it? It's grungy, yet Jeff Buckley-esque.
Really?
At the same time.
Are you a Buckley fan?
I am. I think Hallelujah. I told you once. We were texting.
Yeah. Wait, tell the people.
The people listening. So as my first episode 14.
A long time ago.
As Vax may have mentioned, we had a very interesting relationship, me and him, because I pissed him off at one show, which I broke the cardinal rule, and I was kind of scared of him for a few years.
Oh, don't do that.
But now we're awesome. But now we're like texting all the time.
All the time.
Like, I was joking to my bandmates. Like,
musician
I was like, I think he wants to adopt me.
Adoption? Why would you say adoption, sir?
Because it's like, it was so funny. It was like.
It's kindred spirits, if you will.
It is. It's more like that. I was just joking.
It's musician stuff, man. Like, and when you find somebody you connect with, it's fucking awesome. Oh my God, like, that's what it's about.
Because I would send you questions like, top 5 overrated guitar players. Exactly. Top 5 songs you wish you wrote.
Well, here you go. You know what? This is great.
This is
the guitar episode. Fuck it. We got a great guitar player with us. Let's do it. In your opinion, your top 5 overrated guitar players for rock and roll.
Overrated. Now, it's subjective.
Of course.
I want to mention for some of these guys I do like some stuff they've done. But just my opinion.
And this is, in my opinion, my friend Vince is being a pussy. Like, because when we're texting, you're like, yeah, man, they're overrated. Be like, hold on. For the world's ear, I don't really think they're overrated. Fuck that. If they're overrated, they're overrated.
Yeah.
Who is it?
So, hang on.
You don't even remember?
I'm thinking back.
All right. Perhaps we're going to pause this for a second. We can pull up our list on our phones. And we'll go that way. So, ladies and gentlemen, bear with us momentarily.
I'm trying to remember. Let's do this.
Welcome back to episode number 20. This is the guitar episode. We are going to do a list of Vince's top 5 overrated guitar players ever in rock and roll. Mr. Vincent, who's in the number 5 position?
Number 5, Kerry King of Slayer.
Okay, I'm with you.
Now, Slayer...
Do people in your circles really go, oh, Kerry King's amazing?
There are guys that love Slayer.
I didn't say that. Are people telling you Kerry King's fucking amazing? Because no one's telling me that.
No.
And then the gear's not impressive. The tone's not impressive.
Not at all. And as a lead player, he is one of the most sloppiest. I mean,
the guy who died,
Jeff Hanneman,
was the backbone of Slayer sonically.
Yes, he was.
Actually, he wrote those songs. You know what I mean? So, and the guy who replaced him is from Exodus. He's
Gary Holt.
I don't know his name. Really good. Yeah. He's a great player.
But Kerry King. He wrote some great riffs.
Okay.
I mean, Raining Blood. I mean, I was actually listening to that the other day.
Yeah, but a riff doesn't make you a great guitar player.
No, it doesn't.
Anybody can write a fucking riff, man.
I can write a fucking riff.
But you can also play your ass off, so it doesn't work in my equation.
Oh, thank you.
No, you're welcome. Right. It's a fact, so.
Exactly. But Kerry King just never did it for me. I just felt like, I don't know. It's like, you know, pride himself, you know, writing satanic lyrics, and then it's like, he's like, oh, I'm agnostic or something. I'm like, shut the hell up, Kerry King. It's like either you're one thing or you're not.
Well, if you're agnostic.
I mean, you think there's something up there.
No, that's a thing. I don't know. Actually, fuck it. Let's get spiritual. Do you think there's something up there?
I'm Catholic.
That wasn't what I asked.
I mean,
I'm baptized too. Doesn't mean I'm in the fucking clan. I mean, I'm baptized.
I do think there's something up there.
Yeah, there's something. Like, mathematically.
I believe in God.
Yeah, I believe in God. Wow, we're so creepy. But I do. I believe in God. I'm not saying that Christianity is the thing. I'm not saying there. I'm not saying any of that. I really don't. I can't go off the Bible. I can't do it. I can't fucking do it.
It is subjective for people. But I have very good friends. Two of my best friends are Hindu.
Okay.
And so.
But a higher power.
I do believe in that.
Grand design. Totally. Yes. I'm with it.
And.
Actually, did I ever tell you the Joe Rogan thing?
No, you didn't.
This is weird. I like Joe Rogan's podcast a lot. Yeah, I mean, obviously. He's great. Right, isn't it fucking entertaining?
He's funny. And he's smart, yet he's knowledgeable, too.
Very intelligent. Like
my funny you mentioned that. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Sure.
But my buddy was mentioning Joe Rogan, like saying, you know, he feels like, what's this comedian know anything about MMA? He's like, he only talk about MMA. He's like, no, he's very insightful about his thing.
Here's what he's really good at. He says it himself. He researches a lot and can remember what he reads, which is special. So he has scientists on, and sometimes he'll catch them and they'll say something that doesn't make sense. And he's like, but no, blah, blah, blah. And he has accurate details, and you can Google things and check it. He's well read, very entertaining, very charismatic.
Yeah.
A great listen, if you will. So go listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, which I'm sure you do anyway. If you listen to this fucking podcast, I know you're listening to Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, there was, and I'm going to fuck it up, so I apologize in advance, but you're going to get the gist of it. There was a physics experiment done very recently. Now, I'm not sure if it was done in the collider. You know what the collider is?
No.
Okay, the collider is the thing they built in Europe. I think it's like 100 miles or something. They can make black holes inside of it.
Oh,
the diameter of it is like hundreds of feet. It's
a
circle.
That's cool.
It is cool. And it costs like $1 billion to make, and they were going to make one in America. And Europeans are like, we use ours. Like, why waste the money? So there's a collider. They can make black holes. They can do weird scientific experiments that you can do nowhere else on the planet.
Yeah.
It's a really great thing. It's underground. It's phenomenal. In the collider, I believe, I'm not saying the physics experiment happened in that, but I think it did. They took something. Now, I have to, this is visual. You'll understand it. Yeah. They're not going to understand it, but there's like an atom, if you will, not an atom. There was an object. And it's approaching, say, there's a port in front of it. So I have like a microphone stand here.
Yeah.
So I have a circle. A sphere goes up to the microphone stand, right? And it has to get around it in some capacity. And this is what it did. The sphere goes up and it splits in half. It passes the point and goes right back together.
Wow.
In physics, that's not mathematically possible for matter. Matter's not supposed to. It's supposed to slice, break into it. It looked at, it opened, it went past it and went back together. So it split in half, went around it, right? What does do that is when you have a video game like Grand Theft Auto on your PlayStation or on your Xbox. So the theory being that this entire stage of consciousness is one big simulation, one huge universal simulation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the theory, because I know China's there, but can I see it right now? Is China really happening? Or when I turn over to look in China's direction, does it fucking permeate? It's a weird thing. But I've been thinking about that theory a great deal the past couple of weeks. And I'm looking at the world and I'm looking at life, and insects die and birds die and people die. So are we in a simulation? And then to go further down the Joe Rogan rabbit hole, he takes MDA occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he took the chemical, which is what your brain manufactures when you die, right? So he takes said chemical, and instantly, you're withdrawn from consciousness, and you see everything around you as abstract mathematical equations and planes of existence. So like all it is all matter and energy. And then you're in the other dimension of existence, which makes all this look really small and insignificant.
Interesting.
It's interesting. You should look it up. So I'm not a drug person.
Not at all.
The theory is I might experiment with MDA, to be honest with you. No, for real. Like, why are you laughing? Like, I just...
Sorry.
No, I'm just trying to say, like, so it's a possibility that all of this is just a simulation. And we're going through, like, what we're going through. Like, something happened to your father last year, which sucked.
Yeah.
What if that's just part of his simulation? He punched it in when he was like on the other side of things, like, all right, I'm going to go live. I'm going to deal with this situation that happens. I had something happen to my first wife, which was tragic.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of my simulation. So you're going through it.
It's how you deal with things.
Well, you want to deal with it. So then when you leave, you're like, oh, I did it. So like people go mountain climbing, right? Mm-hmm. To just fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
Can I beat the mountain? Will I fall? Will the rope catch me? Will I hurt myself? Maybe this whole fucking... No, you don't die. You have the fucking harnesses. But the point is, you try it. Now, I ride a motorcycle. It feels good. I could die every day on a motorcycle. I climb ladders for a living. I could die every doing that. But then I look around, I'm like, it might be a simulation. Because that whole fucking experiment, the scientific experiment, it's been fucking my head up. Like, things are supposed to crash into them, not just divide and pass the point and then re-fucking attach themselves. What are your thoughts, Mr. Gracie.
Gracie?
Gracie? How do I say it?
Gracie.
Gracie.
Well,
no idea.
It's a lot to take in, but admittedly, a lot of it went.
But back to your list.
But understandably, yeah, it's like there is something out there. What if it is a simulation?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not saying God doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. I just think God's like, all right. Oh, do you know who, I'm blanking on his name. Gary Shandling was.
No.
You have no idea? Before your time. You know The Tonight Show.
Yes.
Right? Well, The Tonight Show back in the day was George Peppard. Was that not George Peppard? But there was the first host. Then Johnny Carson's the second host.
Mm-hmm.
The third host is Jay Leno, which you remember when you were a kid.
Yes.
But when I was a kid, Johnny Carson was at the tail end of his thing. Uh-huh. And so I remember Johnny Carson. He was getting older. Gary Shandling was the first guest host.
Mm-hmm.
He was a comedian, and he would take over. And Gary Shandling left the guest host position. He would eventually wound up with The Tonight Show because he had his own TV show. But he's a comedian. If I show you a picture of him, you've seen him before.
Okay?
You just don't remember who he is. He got in a car accident, a bad one, in the 70s when he was a kid. He's in his like 20s. And he died on the table. Mm-hmm. They brought him back. But when he dies on the table, he has a very specific memory of he's somewhere, and they're like, hi, you don't remember this? And he's like, no. They're like, okay, we put you in the body of Gary Shandling. Mm-hmm. Now, you can come back and leave, and Gary Shandling can die, and that's fine, or you can do it again later. Or do you want to go back and finish being Gary Shandling? And he's like, I want to finish being Gary Shandling. You're like, okay, and then he wakes up, and he's in the hospital.
Insane.
So that's insane, right? And so he spent the rest of his life, he passed away recently, but he spent the rest of his life trying to figure out the whole thing, and Buddha, and like meditation, and everything.
And everything.
So it really might be a big fucking simulation, man. It really could. It just could. And it's amazing to me, but, you know, it's something I've been thinking about a great deal.
Yeah.
Not that we're going off on a tangent, but we did.
We did.
Going back to our list, Kerry King's your number 5.
Yes.
Who's your number 4? Top rated.
Number 4 is, I'm going to say, I rearranged my list. I'm going to say John Petrucci to a degree.
Explain that.
Now, I think John Petrucci is a great player. I've met him. Very nice guy.
He's much shorter than he appears.
So is Satriani, actually.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's tiny.
When I met Petrucci, it was at G4. I did this giant thing where I took week-long seminars with Alex Skolnick from Testament, Steve Vai, Eric Johnson. I got the jam with Eric Johnson. There's a video on our YouTube channel.
Literally.
Of me jamming with him.
That's fucking
amazing.
I was
so scared to play with another player in my entire life. Never been that scared in my entire life. But it's Eric Johnson. You can see it in the video where I'm just trying to think. Don't forget everything you've ever learned in your life. Don't forget anything you ever learned. Satriani and Vai.
Okay.
And so Petrucci was visiting the Glen Cove Mansion in Long Island. So it's like the X Mansion, literally.
Interesting.
He's visiting because later that next year he did his own clinic there.
Really?
So he was scoping the area. So I walked over, and I didn't want to bother him because I knew he was busy. But I was like, can I just get a picture of you? So there's a picture of me on Facebook next to John Petrucci, like, pointing out. I'm like, hey, guys. This is
but
John
why is he overrated, then?
Why is he overrated? Technically, he's a monster.
But
it's – maybe this is my opinion on prog rock. You once mentioned before you're not a big prog.
I'm not.
And
I'm
I just not either. Like, sometimes with John Petrucci, it's like when I see him play live, it just looks boring to
I'm going to see Primus on Wednesday. And I've never seen Primus before, and they're with Mastodon.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be a good concert. And my friend got tickets, so we're going to fucking go. It's going to be great. And it's like, I'm not a Primus guy. You know what I mean? But I want to see him live. I want to see Claypool play.
Yeah. I'm not knocking Petrucci's musicianship. I think he's an insane player.
Okay, you're literally knocking his musicianship.
But no, with me, it's like, it just doesn't. When I hear guys play a million notes per minute, it doesn't impress me anymore.
But it did.
At one point, it did.
So, I don't. I'm all right.
Maybe as I develop as a player, I started.
Feels important.
Feels so important to me. Like David Gilmour.
You know what's
is
funny
amazing.
About this? Is you're proving things on my list that you don't like as you speak. So, the things you are saying, we are going to revisit. So, who is your number 3 top rated guitar player?
CeCe DeVille.
See, that makes go ahead.
I don't know.
How do you think he's rated as high, though? Who goes, ooh, CeCe? Who's saying that shit? Like, for real.
How many fans did Poison have at some point?
But this is important to know. They have one number one song in the arc of their career, and it's Every Rose Has Its Thorn, and it's an acoustic song which barely features CeCe DeVille at all. It was written in a laundromat by fucking Brett Michaels when he was getting his clothes dried. For real, about a stripper that he used to bang. That's literally what that's about. Literally.
I love that.
We both lie on the steel in the dead of the night. I gotta tell you, as a little kid, listening to those Poison songs and shit helps you as a songwriter because they're simple, they're not complicated, they're hooky. Hook is important. And so I needed that, like, is it Baxter? Fuck, I can't think of his name. The guitar player who was in Steely Dan. He was later in the Doobie Brothers. Jeff Baxter, I believe.
I met him, too.
So with the glasses, right?
Yeah, with the mustache.
Yes. So Jeff Baxter said that no matter how good of a guitar player you become, when you started back when they were kids, you went through that whole fucking, like, Chuck Berry phase. Now, Chuck Berry's not accomplished, per se. Let me rephrase that. He's not brilliant at his instrument. He's accomplished. But he didn't, like, he had, like, a box he played in. Mm-hmm. A blues fucking box. So Jeff Baxter said you have to get through that box to become a better guitar player, yes. At least back then. When you start out, simple basic chords, like the box formation, you just play it, right? I feel that way about bands like Poison, that you have to go through, as a songwriter, simplicity to understand the grandeur of things like Steely Dan, who had complicated, like, you know, songwriting. So, I don't know, man. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you the truth. Out of all the hair bands, because Guns N' Roses really wasn't a hair band.
No, they weren't.
Of all the hair bands, the best guitar player might have been CeCe DeVille. And they because he was, Isaac Perlman was his teacher. He studied at NYU. He was a real musician. He could read. He still can sight read. Like, he's a real player. He was in a hair band to make money. I don't know.
Would you argue him over Mick Mars, even? Or... This might be controversial, and I wasn't in the 80s.
Yeah.
So if I say this is a hair band, feel free to say they're not a hair band. Go ahead. But Dokken, even?
Oh, they're definitely a hair band. There's no two.
George Lynch is insane.
Do you think so? Or is he insane at what he does? Like, let's speak the truth between us. Like, when you're – all right. Eddie Van Halen was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And then it came out that Eddie Van Halen could only really do the Eddie Van Halen thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can do that. Somebody like Tremonti, for example, who you like a lot, does a lot of things. He can be an alter bridge. He can be solo with his different sounding speed stuff. Mm-hmm. He's an eclectic, well-rounded player.
Yeah.
Eddie Van Halen does what Eddie Van Halen does. Yeah. He does it really well, and it's brilliant, and it's like groundbreaking. But it's in Sammy Hagar's book,
I love that book.
I love Red. It. Is it Red? Yeah. It's fucking great. He said that Sammy's friends with everybody. He's very charismatic. They went to a country show.
Mm-hmm.
And the country singer was trying to teach Eddie the songs. So they can go out and jam together when they were still in Van Halen. And Eddie couldn't pick it up. Because he's just...
That was insane.
That's, you read that, right?
Yeah.
So Eddie could do what Eddie does. So when you sing Don Dokken's a monster, he's a monster what he does. I like Don. George Lynch. I'm sorry. And from Lynch Mob and all that. And I like him. He's just not my thing. Mick had more feel than most of them. But let's be honest, Mick Mars isn't the most fucking groundbreaking guitar player either. Is he one of your favorites?
Not necessarily. Motley Crue's kind of... I like Motley Crue, but they were never a band I went insane about.
Yeah, of course.
Even when I was discovering that era. But Guns N' Roses is my favorite band in the 80s. And Metallica.
You know, all right, talking about guitar players. But we're going to argue about Metallica in a minute. But talking about guitar players, you know... Izzy was very important to that Guns sound.
Is.
Like, sonically.
Izzy wrote a lot of those songs.
Not even that. Like, when you play, like, did you watch footage of them live?
Yes.
Izzy filled a lot of music.
Yes,
like,
he did.
Because then you'd have Slash soloing, but you're not building those rhythms behind it. Like, that's all Izzy. That fucking Keith Richards feel.
Yeah, why it's so great, even with my band, that I have someone like Chris playing.
It's true.
Because with Chris, he does that. I can focus on my soloing.
Man, I want to get Chris on this fucking podcast so bad. I do.
We can make it happen.
But he says that too, and then you're here and there's no Chris, obviously, right? But like, he builds his own fucking guitars and paints his own fucking guitars.
Insane.
He is insane.
He's a great player too.
He's impressive. I like him, actually. I have a lot of kinship with guitar players. Like,
I've noticed.
Well, that's weird that you say that, because I actually know more drummers and bass players because Starscream's been through a lot of them. If I needed a drummer, I got five I can call right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Same with bass players. But guitar players are like few and far between. Like, I've had the same guitar player forever, but I love guitar. Like, that's what I'm driven by. So the fact that we're friends and we have a kinship. Anyway, CeCe DeVille, I don't know if I could stand for it. In Poison, yes. But overall, pretty good player, sir.
He's never did anything for me. It's like...
He never did anything.
Even he did the Warrant song, Cherry Pie.
Did he?
He did the solos for Cherry Pie.
I had no idea.
Not many people know that.
I never knew that at all.
And Warrant's... In my opinion.
Was shit.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, we got CeCe DeVille players.
But I remember... Listen.
Remember the story... Slash told in his book about when he auditioned for Poison, and he played the shit out of material, yeah. But then it was Ricky Rocket went up to him and said, "So is that what you're wearing on stage?"
Yeah.
And then when he says he walked past a dude, all white get up with pink lipstick or something in the frosted hair.
Yeah, man.
And he said it was CeCe DeVille. He's like, "You knew he got the gig." I was like,
but that was their thing. That look got laid. And I'm going to tell you, they just put out a video recently, like last week, for fucking Guns N' Roses, It's So Easy. Mm-hmm. That was never released back in the
80s. With Axel.
With this fucking, up. Yeah, they were that.
Very briefly.
Not briefly, years, man. Not fucking briefly. And then, I'll tell you the truth of it. I think Axel was like, you go on the road, you're touring, doing that every night's just shitty, I'm just going to put a headband on. And then it just became a different vibe. Like, I don't know. They were definitely from that ilk. And I can understand being sucked into the ilk because I remember in the 90s, I never fell prey to it, but musicians I knew did. You ever see the ball necklace where it's like the metal ball?
Yeah.
Which was made famous by 311 one summer when they were really big.
Yeah.
That was their year. And then everybody had the fucking necklace on. Then the fucking wallet chains. I fell to that hole. I had the wallet chain for a while. But like, looks happen. And that's what it was. And let's be honest, I have fucking pictures of Slash with eye makeup. So don't fucking act like he wasn't fucking.
Oh, no, I know. So number two for me is, this is going to be a hot topic, Yngwie Malmsteen.
But that doesn't make any sense. He's a monster guitar player.
He was revolutionary.
But
what he did, yes. However, and maybe this is me knocking him as a person.
Okay.
He's a douche.
He is a douche.
And he, you know, you've seen the interviews.
But he's like 6'3". He owns a bunch of fucking sports cars. He has a beautiful fucking collection of Fenders.
So those first three albums, yes. Rising Force.
Yes.
Name all of them.
Doesn't matter.
But those three albums are incredible.
Okay.
Groundbreaking. But then, unlike some of these other instrumental virtuosos who could do so many different things, like Satriani, I'm a Satriani fan. Satch is different. Satch can, some might disagree with me, which you're okay with doing. Satch is different in every album. Like, he can play.
I'll give you that.
He's very unique. He can play some very out there stuff.
Sure.
Very spacey stuff, and that's not necessarily complicated.
Yeah.
But if you put Satriani in Chickenfoot, he's a different monster than what he was when he does the solo stuff.
We'll get to that on my list.
And then, but with Yngwie Malmsteen, every album I've ever heard from following those three, same effing thing.
But he'll tell you,
and again,
it's his formulaic thing. That's what he sounds like. Like, to be honest with you, all of the fucking Alter Bridge records sound like Alter Bridge. There's not departure. They set up what the Alter Bridge house is going to sound like.
But they progress each sound, I feel. And I've been a fan since the beginning. Sure. So the first album, Millie, sounded like Creed. Because it was the tail end of that era. Blackbird.
Okay.
Miles Kennedy was starting to get involved with the writing more in the guitar. Sounds nothing like that first album.
Okay.
It's more progressive. It's more in your face. The record's dark and it's heavy.
Yeah.
They keep trying new things every record. It's getting more progressive. It's getting heavier.
Sure.
But Miles and Mark find a better chemistry with each other, and the writing just improves.
Okay.
Because now they can put songs together where they just contribute different parts to each other's songs, and they can be like, hey, what works here? What works here?
Sure, sure.
And I can always tell when I listen to that. And sometimes I get confused. Like, a riff, I swear to God, is a Tremonti riff, is a Kennedy riff. There's one song off their latest up record called Island of Fools.
No, but people influence each other. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, which I thought was a Tremonti riff, but because it sounded like...
Yeah, but then Miles goes and he writes guitar parts with Slash. Exactly. So it's like, you know, it is what it is. They're bleeding into each other at this point. That's okay, though.
But with me, it's like, I heard a cover of Dream On done by Ronnie James Dio and Yngwie Malmsteen. Now, Ronnie James Dio is one of the greatest singers of all time. He made that his own. He did his Dio thing on it. It sounded great. Now, the opening part of Dream On.
Piano.
Yep. So, Yngwie does an intro solo to this.
Okay.
And he does his Malmsteen thing where he does his a million notes.
He can
sweeps,
really play.
But it didn't fit the song.
Serve the song.
And I'm sitting, and I feel like as a guitar player, we have to serve the song.
All right, listen, he's not fucking overrated. He did something special. He brought fucking classical music to metal guitar, which had never really been done in that way. Think about it. Who done
Blackmore?
It like that? Not like that. Blackmore was a blues player first.
Mm-hmm.
From the door, Yngwie comes in. He says it. I brought classical That's what I have. And I know you don't like it, and I hear you. Not overrated. Sorry, can't sign off on it. He deserves his point. Just like Eddie Van Halen deserves his fucking point.
Okay.
All right, you're like, well. Here's your number
one. Number one for me. This is going to be funny. Jack White.
Explain. Now, here's the thing. I would think that Jack White is thought of more of a songwriter than a guitar player. For real. Because no one goes, oh, man, that Jack White riff was so fucking tasty.
What the one riff he ever did?
Oh, it's a good riff, though. I used to have this joke.
It is. But there's only two White Stripes songs I've ever heard that I can tolerate, which is that one.
And Seven Nation Army.
No, Seven Nation Army is that one. Icky Dump is the other one.
Oh, yeah.
But my first exposure to Jack White was actually, I wasn't listening to White Stripes. I was more into like listening to Avenged Sevenfold and stuff like that in that time period.
Okay.
So my first real exposure where I sat down was the James Bond theme he did.
Oh, I don't even know.
With Alicia Keys.
I don't even know that.
It was
shit.
Awful.
Chris Cornell's Bond theme isn't that good though either. And I love
it. It's better than. It is. See, I disagree. I think it's one of the best Bond themes ever.
I just don't think it's a good Chris Cornell song. Like, Chris can, I don't know.
Chris can write. Yeah. We know he can.
Like, that's my all-time favorite songwriter.
That's one of mine, too.
Yeah, like, before you came here, I was listening to the first solo record, Euphoria Morning. Oh, it's so good. Because when that came out, I was, like, 23 years old, and there's a line in Waiting for Someone for the End of the World.
I love that song.
He's like, I'm preaching. 24, and I've got everything to live for. And I'm like, I'm almost 24. This is about me. But anyway, it wasn't about me.
But for Jack White, it's just, like, his tone. I hate it. It just sounds like a freaking buzzsaw or plugging someone's butt up into an amplifier.
You know that he is he's the same age as Tremonti.
He is.
They're like the same fucking age. Wow. So, I don't know. I like Jack White. I'm not saying he's a great guitar player. So, all right, your list is respectable.
And when he opens his mouth,
well, go ahead.
Too, it's like, shut up, Jack White.
Why?
You're not. I feel like every time he opens his mouth, he says something stupid.
I don't know if I agree.
He called Nicki Minaj a genius, for one, which I like hip hop too. But Nicki Minaj, I would never consider a genius in my life.
Why?
For better female rappers, that Lauryn Hill,
who's not around, but sure. Actually, did
Lil
you?
Kim?
Over
Nicki.
No, and I could say, all right. We're going to pause the podcast. I want to play something for you that you've never heard in your life. And you're going to be like, oh, I think I might get it.
Okay.
This happened before she was famous. This is how she
Minaj.
Made. Yeah. Okay. So bear with us, everybody. We'll be right back. All right. There we go. We're going to talk over it. I love this shit.
Yeah, this isn't. Okay, so this is. Why doesn't she do more of this?
All right. That was her introduction into music, okay? She was nobody yet. She was getting paid an obscene amount of money to make fucking verses on records because they were fucking awesome and colorful. Mm-hmm. And she's hot. I would fuck her. Now, you might not say that you would fuck. I would fuck her. She's with Eminem, by the way. They got together recently. But the point is.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's real too. Wow. But here's the thing. She is smart enough. Number one, you know who Meek Mills was?
Yeah.
He's from Philly.
Yeah.
He's the ghostwriter. So he wrote all those lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he has money. I know that because the rapper who worked with me knows Meek Mills. So it's like a fucking little thing. So here, all right, so here we go. Nicki can really, really, really spit. She can really rap.
Mm-hmm.
All that shit that you don't like that made her rich is fucking pop music. You got to do pop to make money. And Nicki Minaj is fucking wealthier than I am. So she wins. Now, it's not exactly artistically relevant. But the reason she was allowed to make these songs that are meaningless and empty and not as appreciated is because she was fucking good enough on the grimy, raw shit to get there. You said it yourself. I was getting the track. You're like, oh, well, she sounds great on Monster. That's fucking Nicki Minaj. That's what Nicki Minaj is. And she stole the shit from Jay-Z. You said it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
She stole the song. Right?
Exactly.
And the first guy to sign her is, what the fuck is his name? Oh my
God. Young Money guy, I think.
Yeah, but what's his name?
Berman? No.
That's
no,
the producer.
No.
This is the star. This is embarrassing. I don't know his fucking
Lil Wayne?
Name. Lil Wayne. So Lil Wayne finds her because she can fucking spit. I don't know what you think about Lil Wayne, but if you're a fan
Hit
or
miss.
No, if you're a fan of hip hop, the levels of writing for his rhyme. His scheme is beyond comprehension. He's one of the best to ever touch a microphone. For real. Now, there's no hits recently or anything.
It's not Eminem.
Well, I disagree, actually. I would go definitely him, because his mixtapes hit the street, which is like shit online that you can just get for free, yeah, that are just fucking stellar. It's like stellar stuff, man. Like, he's one of the best. And he sees Nicki, and he's like, she's raw as fuck. And she was. And because he puts her on, now she's on the Kanye record. That blows up. You said it yourself. That Kanye record's fucking
great. That's kind of one of Kanye's best, if not his the last good one he did.
I don't know, man. I got to be honest.
Left Pablo did not do it for me.
I don't know. I just love Kanye's music. I'm not going to lie to anybody. I'm a musician. I just love it. It's really...
That song, All of the Lights, off that record.
All of them. Yeah, that's so good. Well, the titles escape me, but there's a song on that record that just... It's like... Dun, dun, dun.
Let's make a toast. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
That's good.
Fucking that's love that shit. And then Chris Rock's at the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great fucking tune, man. That's what music's about. That's what it's supposed to be. So when you say Nicki Minaj, fuck that. That girl can rap her fucking tits off. For real. She just became pop. I gotta respect it. I don't like it, but pop is popular. That's the way it is. Yeah. You wanna make money, you gotta be fucking pop.
True. But going back to Jack White, I think it's a matter of taste. It's just like... Even in that documentary he did with Jimmy Page.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I don't like The Edge, actually.
I like The Edge. I like The Edge. I think what he adds to that sound.
He makes soundscapes. All right, the producer was Rick Rubin, who came into I think their last record, and he was like, hi, this sounds great. Where's the song? And they're like, what do you mean? He's like, these are just soundscapes. You're not fucking playing anything. You're just making these amazing noises on your computer and putting them through your guitar, which is cool. You're doing patches and all. This isn't songs. Where's the hook? Where's Joshua Tree shit? You know what I mean?
Joshua Tree's good.
I don't know. To me, U2 is overrated. Here's why. That rhythm section's weak as fuck. If you think there's a good rhythm section, you're fucking retarded. I could play every one of those bass lines. I'm an awful fucking bass player. I can play those bass lines. Dude, with or without you, three notes. That's it. That's the bass line. Number one song around the world. Three fucking notes. Fuck that. And I remember I was getting bass lessons in like 1990 or something, and the guy's like, yeah, man, three notes, number one song around the world. You could do it too, buddy. Ooh, play the bass.
Wow.
And the fucking drummer's weak as fuck. Like, yeah. I like him. He's a good-looking guy. He seems nice enough. But no. Now, Bono can really sing. I'm a singer. I'm not a Bono fan, per se. I don't like
that he... can sing.
He can sing. I can't lie. He can talk and sing. That's the star. And The Edge isn't the star. Like, he's good, but how many times are we sitting down? We're discussing Mark Tremonti's monster riffs. We're discussing Slash, right?
Yeah.
When we're off microphone, this is what we talk about. This is what we text about. You ever run to me? Oh man, you hear that new Edge riff? There's no fucking Edge riffs.
I can agree with that.
And that's not a great guitar player. So that whole fucking documentary, suspect from the door, and then Jimmy Page, whose best work, I'm sorry, his most commercial work ever, he's high as fuck the entire time on heroin. So no, because Jimmy Page, if I'm sure I've said this before, I apologize for going off on a tangent yet again, was a phenomenal, precise studio guitar player.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets his own band. He's like, I like the heroin, right? It's great. I'm going to fucking be sloppy every fucking night, eh? Right? That's not it. You're precise. Bro, there's songs that he did. I'm blanking on the name. The Lola Band. Lola. What the fuck are they called? Oh, my God. This is The Kinks.
Yeah.
He's the guitar player in all the Kinks records. And they're great records. He's a great guitar player. He's Yardbirds. In the fucking Yardbirds. Great guitar player. Gets in Zeppelin, sloppy as fuck, just so he could do heroin and be sloppy. That's my style, mate. No, it's not. I'm old enough to remember Jimmy Page. That is not your fucking style. It's become your fucking style, but no. Even Clapton, who was a junkie, didn't fucking play like
Clapton's
that.
Clapton's amazing.
I don't know. No, see? He's amazing for what he does. He's in the Clapton box, though. He's another one who's like, he doesn't go out. I don't know. I do love Clapton.
He's one of my top five.
That feels unparalleled. Like,
yeah.
But then what about Dickie Betts?
Dickie Betts is
right.
Oh, he was insane.
And then you got the
Dwayne
guy
Allman.
That's the one. So here's the secret to life. You're a guitar player. Pray to God in heaven that you don't become one of Eric Clapton's favorite guitar players, because magically they all die. He's like, I love Eric fucking Clapton. He's fucking great, man. Oh fuck, he's dead. All right, I'll wait a while. Oh, Dwayne Allman, he's fucking dead. Like, if he likes you, you die. And then Stevie Ray Vaughan, dead. So Eric Clapton, I think, is just whacking all of his favorite guitar players to get them away from him so he can be the best. Do you want to hear a great fucking story?
Yes.
Okay. You might know this. Pete Townsend and Eric Clapton had never met. It is the late 1960s. And Eric Clapton's in his house, and he gets the phone rings. He's like, hello. He's like, hey, it's Pete Townsend from the O. And he's like, oh, hi, Pete Townsend from the O. He's like, we got a fucking problem. So Eric's like, did I fuck his chick? I don't know what happened. What happened? He's like, there's a guy, there's a bloke playing guitar. We got to go fucking see him. And Eric's like, okay, I'll see you at what time? 8 o'clock at the club. All right, I'll be there. And they go see Hendrix. And fucking, wow. Yeah. And Townsend turns to Clapton and goes, you know our career's over, right? Like, we're done now. And he's like, what? He's like, no, look, you can't do that. I know I can't do that. We're fucked. And that, to me, is a great story.
That's a great story.
Then Pete Townsend again, 10 years later, 77, the Sex Pistols happen.
Mm-hmm.
He's drinking his face off. He's like 31, he's 32, which isn't old, but feels old when you've been in a band since you're 15, right? And now the Sex Pistols are 19. And he runs into members of the Sex Pistols. He's like, all right, you're going to take over. I'm done. You guys are the future. My fucking career's over. Like, Pete Townsend's been counting himself out the entire time because he has this huge inferiority complex. He doesn't comprehend how good he is. So it's a sad, sad story. But yes, that happened.
Wow.
What are your thoughts?
That's insane.
It is insane. Like, but that's a real story. They have never met. And he's like, our jobs are over. We're fucked. He said, what do you mean they're over? Jimi Hendrix has come to America. I'm sorry, come from America to England. We're done. Yeah. It's over. And then, you know, magically he dies.
Yeah, at 27.
Yeah.
So, your list, sir.
Yeah, well, my list is awesome, by the way. Okay. People wouldn't agree, but for me, sadly, Dimebag Darrell is one of them.
Dimebag Darrell. Why, if you don't mind me asking?
The tone.
The tone.
It's very specific. It's the Dean, and what was the head? I can't think of it. The I'm blanking.
Washburn?
No, that Dean's Washburn's the guitar manufacturer. He goes through a certain head.
Oh, that's not Marshall. PV? No, that's not a PV. Never mind. Definitely not a PV.
The point is, he goes through a very specific head that I can't remember the name of. I apologize, people listening in podcast land. I enjoy Pantera. He wasn't the end-all be-all for me. Now, my King Sam is my guitar player. He will tell you Dime was it. He's the truth. No, I didn't see it. Like, to me, Zakk Wylde's the truth. Dime wasn't it. And Zakk Wylde will tell you that Dime's better than him. He will tell you that. But I think that's modesty. I don't think that's real. Dime could really play. He did what he did. I'm telling you, to me, he's just overrated. If he didn't get murdered, for real, I don't know if we'd have this appreciation. Because right after he was murdered, if you went to Sam Ash, which I used to do a lot, mm-hmm. especially we were touring at that time. We went there all the time for gear. These Washburn guitars showed up. All these, and we have one. I bought one of them. And the pedal comes out and all this commemorative shit because he's dead. He's like a martyr. I feel like if he wasn't murdered, he might be forgotten a little more than he is.
Yeah.
So that's my thought. What are your thoughts on Dime?
I love Pantera.
Okay.
Especially the Cowboys from Hell and great the record. Vulgar Display of Power.
Another great record.
Walk's one of the first riffs I learned too. I mean, that's such a good riff. Even Unbroken off of Far Beyond Driven.
See, so you're a fan. I'm talking
the
wrong guy.
But at the same time, I do kind of agree with you though on the his death is the reason why he's as huge as he is now.
Because Pantera was over. Like, Pantera wasn't a thing anymore. It was over. And I don't know, man. I feel like I'll tell you the truth of it. If he didn't die and they got back right now, it would sell out around the world.
Yeah.
Because the Misfits are selling out everywhere and Guns N' Roses is selling out everywhere. So, like, nostalgia is real. You want to see these great bands that no longer walk the earth. Pantera, I remember them holding the flag for everything heavy, Far Beyond Driven, Reinventing the Steel.
Yeah.
Like, you know, good stuff. Just, I'm not a Pantera guy. And, like, Phil screamed a lot, and I'm a singer. I'm not a screamer, and I prefer vocals that are melodic. Like, at the end of the day, Freddie Mercury's my favorite singer of all time. So, in my mind, I'm chasing these brilliant operatic things that just Pantera wasn't offering me. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Even with Phil, too, I mean, he had a voice, man. Cemetery.
Oh, no. Yeah, Cemetery Great. That's the thing.
But then you would hear him nowadays, and it's just, I don't know if it's all the drugs or alcohol he did over the years, but it's just like his voice is, he can't sing Cemetery Gates anymore like he used to.
I don't know if I agree. I don't know if I haven't heard him or anything, but I feel like if it's in you, it's in you. I don't know. Hopefully he can still sing. Secondly, Steve Vai.
Steve Vai.
Definitely.
Right, we're gonna go here.
No feel for me.
No feel.
Do you know how Steve Vai got his start in music? Do you know anything about that?
He did Zappa.
Well, you know, we got that is what I'm asking.
For Zappa, he was a kid.
But how did he get it?
His teacher, Satriani.
Oh, so I'm going to tell you the story. You're going to learn something.
Yeah.
he took the most complicated Zappa arrangement at the time on whatever record it was. And he was a kid. He was like 17, 18. And he wrote it all out and sent it to Zappa to get his attention. And it did. Zappa was like, wow, someone sat down and really worked it out. All the idiosyncrasies of the changes, which is amazing. So he got it. He brought him in and he could play. But just because, and you said this earlier, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Can you think of, in your entire thought of Steve Vai, one iconic riff that you're like, that's the Steve Vai riff?
Bad Horsey.
I don't know. But that to me, no.
And then, or even The Animal.
All right, that's pretty good. But if you ask the standard human being, they know Smoke on the Water. They don't know Bad Horsey. They just don't. True. They just don't. And so to me, there's no feel. There's not enough feel. It's very analytical. And it's very progressive, which is just a form of music that I don't comprehend. Like, are you a Rush fan?
To a degree.
I respect Rush.
Yeah.
I can't listen to it. The drums are too busy. The vocals are too high. It's the same reason I don't like Zeppelin. It's just... I just don't like the high shit like that with that like register.
Yeah.
Like I like Ozzy's high, but there's more of like there's bass notes in there too. You know. Yeah. What I mean? So I don't know. That's just my opinion. Steve Vai is just a little overrated.
Vai, I mean, he's got some feelsy stuff like Tender Surrender.
I don't know if I know that.
It's very sensual, so to say.
And sensual.
Then his biggest hit's probably For the Love of God, which is kind of like his Always With Me, Always With You, his just Hatrionic ballad. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Again, not a big fucking hit.
It's. I respectfully disagree. I think Vai is very quirky. He's very weird.
Okay.
And it's when he was doing our seminars, he gave this great speech about chasing the dream and not listen to your critical voice in your head. Mm-hmm. That sometimes is the end of you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's on these days. He's on some like spiritual like. George Harrison thing right now.
You know how I know the George Harrison thing doesn't work? By the way, I thought about this. Like, all right, I'm sorry. This is a tangent.
Yeah.
George Harrison spent 30 years, 40 years of his life meditating mm-hmm. on a spiritual, and he died of motherfucker cancer. Yeah. So obviously, it doesn't work. This enlightening thing, if it worked, he wouldn't have died of fucking cancer. He just wouldn't have died of fucking cancer. Like, that's the way he went. And he got stabbed by somebody on the way out. Then you hear about how mean he was to his wives, mm-hmm. and like, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. This path to enlightenment, I'm not a fan.
But with, like, I can get that. Okay, like, I understand what you're saying.
I can get that. It's too close to, like, I don't put... We were talking about God earlier, right? Yeah. I believe in God. I'm wearing a cross. I believe in God. I don't put any man above God. And yogis and like these people who are like the spiritual advisors mm-hmm. are godlike on this planet. Fuck that. I don't like that shit. Like, you're a dude. If I picked you up and threw you off a building, it's going to hurt you. You're like, yeah, you're a dude. Like,
So after Vi, who would you say?
All right, this is the thing. It's a top five. Mine's only going to be a top four because someone I used to have as a top five, I don't believe it anymore. But I used to think Ace Frehley was fantastically overrated. I really, really did that because Kiss was a band that affected people when they were little kids sometimes. And those people grew up and became the 80s. All those musicians that blew up in the 80s are Kiss fans. A lot of those guitar players are better than Ace Frehley, like the... Snake Sabo from fucking Skid Row is a better guitar player than Ace Frehley, but his favorite guitar player as a kid was Ace Frehley, like, as an example, right? But I gotta be honest, I have a really good friend, Johnny Zero. He's in a band called Nation Zero. Really good musician. A bit of an eclectic human being. He's eccentric. That's the word. He's eccentric. You know Johnny.
That was the first episode I think I listened to. It was episode 4.
Oh, okay.
That was the Johnny Zero. So that's
a good one. I want to do another one, actually, because he just talks. But the point is, he adores Ace Frehley. Now, I think he's a better guitar player than Ace Frehley is because he's like being progressing and playing. But then he's turned me on to things I heard where Ace was, when he could get in his zone,
mm-hmm.
he was a monster player. And then I heard Kiss right after he left, if you listen to it, there's a hole in that sound.
Yeah.
So I got to say, he's no longer on my list. He's not overrated. I think Ace can really play.
Yeah.
Especially sober. And I've been sober for like almost a decade or whatever. Jakey Lee. Which is Randy Rhoads is Randy Rhoads. If you're an Ozzy Osbourne fan, a Black Sabbath fan, Ozzy goes solo. And Randy is the truth.
He's
the guy. He dies. Shit happens,
unfortunately,
right?
Unfortunately. Jake was the in-between guy.
Well, he's the replacement officially because there's two Jake records. It isn't like Jake's like an accident.
Yeah.
Like Ultimate Sin and all. Like, he's the guy. And no, because he came to Philly a couple years ago. a good friend of mine, his name's Gary, is a guitar player in a band called We Are One. He used to own a club on South Street called Dobbs. You probably heard of it. Mm-hmm. So Jake comes. Gary hangs out with him. They're like having a blast. He has him sign a guitar. He loves Jakey Lee. I think Jakey Lee's over fucking rated because Badlands didn't do anything post Ozzy. It did, but it didn't. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And then he got the whole 90s and the 2000s. He hasn't done anything. So if he's a monster player, where the fuck is he?
He had Bark of the Moon, which everyone talks about.
That's not him.
He did Bark of the Moon.
Hold on. Let me do some math in my head.
That's like...
Diary of a Mad... Yeah, he's Bark of the Moon in Ultimate Sin. Yeah. I apologize. I do apologize. So he did do Mark... And that's the thing. It's good. Bark of the Moon. Dun, 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 dun. But no. Because if you leave Ozzy... Like, Zach left Ozzy, and there's Black Label Society, yeah, which is a whole thing, because Zach's the truth.
Zach is
Had
awesome.
Randy left Ozzy, we'd still be talking about Randy, too.
Yeah.
We don't talk about Jakey Lee. I feel he's overrated. He just happened to get the gig, and... I don't know. In my opinion.
And Zach's a monster.
A monster player. And
number
then,
one.
Hands down, Jimmy Page. Hands Jimmy fucking Page. Down. Like, because to this day, people are like, oh, Page is the greatest ever. He could have been. Page had potential to be the monster guitar player we all think. He didn't. He didn't follow through. He didn't keep it together. The fucking drugs got in the way. There's a ton of Led Zeppelin performances that are sloppy. I don't know. He's not my guy. I'm not a Jimmy Page fan. There we go.
There you go.
And that's
short
my
and
list.
Sweet.
Short and sweet. But like I said, it's only four because I used to have Ace Frehley, but I took it off. Now, yeah, we've already surpassed the 1 hour mark.
Oh, man.
No, it's cool. It's cool. We're going to do another one of you if you're okay with that.
Yeah, I'm sweet.
So, ladies and gentlemen, my name is VexX along with Vince. You're going to talk is when I point at you.
Oh, I'm Vince.
He's in
Ascension
a band.
Drive.
He's, there you go. So you're in Ascension Drive. Yes. Tell them about Ascension Drive.
Ascension Drive's hard rock, heavy metal from the First State.
The First State.
As they say.
That's a little gay.
That is a little gay.
It's a little.
Can remove that, but.
Yeah.
Oh, let me try that again. My name is Vince.
There you go.
From Ascension Drive, heavy metal from Delaware. Please check us out on
fucking
Facebook.
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp. Buy the album on Bandcamp.
I bought the record.
Did solid, you know, record.
It? Oh, yeah. It's a fucking monster. You guys can play. We didn't even talk about the studio. That's what I really want to talk about. So I guess the next episode we can
next episode
that.
We'll talk about the studio.
So go ahead.
I'll quote you. Stay frosty. Please check out the Vex on Vex podcast on the Podbeam app and Facebook. Anywhere else you guys are at? Or is that it?
Who cares? Do the sign off. I love it.
And
so.
And this is us telling you, stay frosty.